This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The list is long and poignant of artists who got little recognition during their lifetime, and it was only after death that the world figured them out. Thoreau, Kafka, Vincent van Gogh, for starters. But there is another pattern, Michael Jackson, superstar in his own time, and it turns out a huge generator of profits after he passed away 5 years ago this week. Zach O'Malley-Greenberg is a senior editor at Forbes, whose new book is called Michael Jackson Incorporated. Zach, good morning.
Thank you for having me on.
So tell me the story, just to get a flavor of this. Michael Jackson and Michael Jackson's people are negotiating for the Beatles catalog. It's a pretty intense negotiation, isn't it?
Oh, indeed. It went on for the better part of a year, and that was Michael's idea. He really wanted to do it. But all the other advisors basically said, you're crazy, you know, if you want to spend over $40 million for this.
It's just so expensive, Michael. Why are you buying this?
Why would you do that? And, you know, Michael kind of nodded and, you know, he had his sunglasses on like usual. And so people couldn't quite tell exactly what he was thinking. And then very quietly, he reaches over, he grabs a sheet of paper. He says, let's not negotiate. And then he writes in all caps, this is my catalog.
And passes so they end it over. Up paying like $47 million
yeah, 47
for the Beatles
and a half
music.
Million, yep.
Some people think that's really stupid. In the end, what do we know about that acquisition?
Well, we know that today that investment is worth about $1 billion.
All right. Now, Michael Jackson, Inc. is not just the Beatles acquisition, for sure. At the center of this is an amazing performer with an amazing sense of how to put together the top-selling album of all time.
That's, you know, that's Michael Jackson's best business move, right? Thriller. You know, what's better than putting out an album that sells over 100 million copies? But he wanted to top Thriller with every successive record. And when it didn't quite sell as much, or when it, you know, didn't get quite the acclaim, it just drove him to spend more and more time and money on the next one and wait longer and longer in between. And I think that that really put a strain on his finances.
Now, Zach, you don't compare yourself to Michael Jackson. Who could? But for the record, you yourself were a child star for a moment?
In the early 90s, I acted in a film called Lorenzo's Oil, and I played the title role alongside Susan Sarandon and Nick Nolte. Obviously, it's nothing like being Michael Jackson. There was one thing that happened to me that kind of made me really have just an iota of a sense of what it might have been like to be him. And that was when I was 6 years old. I was on the set. And these two girls came up to me, and they were a year older than me. They asked for my autograph. And I thought, what is it about being in a movie that makes, you know, other people my age want to have my autograph? I'm not a baseball player. That doesn't make sense. There's something about it, something about, you know, even a shred of celebrity that can make people view you like an alien or something like that. And from the age of reason, basically, his entire life, Michael Jackson was one of the most famous people in the world. And I think that pretty much everyone he met treated him like an alien. I can only imagine the kind of effect that must have had on him.
Zach O'Malley-Greenberg is a senior editor at Forbes. The new book is called Michael Jackson, Inc., The Rise, Fall, and Rebirth of a Billion-Dollar Empire. Zach, thank you.
Thank you for having me on.